Welcome to today's episode of the Brand Strategy Podcast, where I'm chatting with my sweet friend, Torrance Hart, the founder and owner of Teak & Twine, all about how to scale your brand by hiring a team. Teak & Twine is a specialty gifting company based in the beautiful DC area. And in addition to that, Torrance is an educator and an entrepreneurial advocate. She, over the years, has built such an incredible team to help her grow her own business. And I can't wait for you to keep listening to all the wonderful tips that she shares with us today so that you can make this happen for your business too. Torrance, I am so excited to have you on today's episode of the Brand Strategy Podcast. And I'm just truly honored that you are willing to share your experience of how you grew the team that you have today that works alongside you at Teak & Twine. So, if you're up for sharing, I'd love to hear just a little bit about Teak & Twine, maybe how you kind of came to discover that you were ready or that it was time to grow a team to begin with, and really just hear a little bit more about what that process looked like for you.
Perfect, Bonnie. Thank you so much for having me. I have just watched you from afar for so long, and you have built something really amazing, and I can't wait to binge listen to every episode of this podcast. And so I started Teak & Twine 5 years ago. I was still active duty in the Air Force. I had one more year of my commitment left, but I had a feeling that I wanted to get out and do something else. And so I started looking around, thinking of ideas. I followed a lot of people who were in the creative entrepreneur, wedding adjacent world, and their lives just looked awesome to me from the outside. And so I was kind of, as my time was winding down, thinking about what I could do to serve those people. So I really started with the people and then identified the product. And it started with wedding welcome gifts. And then I got asked to make client gifts and then corporate gifts. And now 5 years later, we live right outside Washington, D.C. And I'm so proud to have grown this business and have an amazing, amazing team working for me. I mean, that is the coolest thing about this podcast episode is I just get to spend all of my time bragging on my amazing team.
I absolutely love that. And I feel like you and I actually, before we hit record on this, we were talking about how it's really been amazing on my end. I feel like I've watched Teak & Twine and, you know, you at the helm of Teak & Twine go through so much beautiful and intentional growth over those 5 years. And I personally love utilizing your client gifting products, your pre-made designs, but also kind of the custom options to spoil and delight my own clients. And you take so much off of my own plate when it comes to really just loving on the people that I work with. And so I can only imagine how much time you free up in the lives of your clients and how much magic you and your team get to create that then goes out into the world, whether it's, you know, corporate project or weddings. I see these boxes, these gifts you're creating going out into the world and just being these amazingly thoughtful surprises that make people feel so seen and so valued. So I just, purely out of curiosity, how did you get this idea to focus on custom gifting? Has that always been something you were interested in, or was that kind of a new idea that you were interested in cultivating?
No, it isn't something I've always done, and I'm actually not a great gift giver myself. I know that is like my deepest, darkest confession here, but where it started is when I was in the Air Force, one of the jobs I had was protocol, which is basically event planning. And so I kind of thought, well, it would be a natural transition for me to maybe be an event planner or wedding planner when I got out of the Air Force. And one of the things that I thought I could offer my brides in my head, my imaginary brides, is that I could help them create bridesmaid gifts, groomsmen gifts, and wedding welcome gifts to welcome their out-of-town guests. And I started thinking about that and what the packaging might look like and how I would source products and how I wanted to create wedding welcome gifts and bridesmaid gifts that felt like a natural extension of all of the other thought out elements of their wedding. Fast forward a couple weeks and I found myself spending all my time just thinking about the boxes, no time thinking about the rest of the planning. And so I realized I'm just the most excited about this idea and I'm going to narrow down and make the boxes. And I have, you know, this, I really like things to be very orderly. And so I love sourcing packaging from and amazing products from all over the country. And then we kind of lay them out in the box with this Tetris-like precision that just makes my type A heart so happy to see. And I love being able to create a gift that looks like someone else's brand. So that is kind of, you know, I work directly with the amazing products that you create as far as mood boards and branding boards, and then try to create something that looks like that. So it feels as cohesive as the business cards do or the website does.
And honestly, you do such an incredible job at that. It's like, I love how you described it as laying everything out in those boxes as Tetris-like precision, because I see that. I appreciate that so much. That's something that resonates with my fellow type A heart so deeply. And so knowing that that there is a service out there who I can outsource my client gifting to, but I know that I'm not sacrificing on the quality or the thought or even the heart that it really will go into those gifts my clients receive. That takes so much off of my own plate as an entrepreneur. But I could, you know, obviously just talk about how much I love Teak and Twine all day long. But I want to know, personally, I'm really curious, like at what point in your journey did you reach this point where you're putting together these amazing gifts to send out to your customers and you realize that, okay, there's only so much that I can do on my own. Like at what part of your journey did growing a team even come into the picture?
So I launched Teak and Twine in May of 2015. And the crazy thing about the gifting business is, I mean, I'm sure the wedding world is also very seasonal. I know it is, but you guys, gift giving, extremely, extremely seasonal. Christmas is this incredible sprint where we just have 3 months out of the year that look nothing like the other 9 months. And so what happened that first year is I could handle June, I could handle July. And as soon as September, October hit, it was immediately clear that I desperately needed some help. And so I turned to Instagram and I just threw it out there that I needed another set of hands. And that's what I love about some of the community on social media is I've actually done all of my hiring through Instagram and referrals. I've never used a typical job finding website like LinkedIn or anything like that. I'm sure they're amazing, but it's been incredible to see the talent that I found just from the folks who are already following along. And so I think that might be an amazing place to start, because the people who are already following your journey or even your personal life on Facebook or Instagram, they already know what you're doing. They're already interested. And so it's a great first place maybe to reach out and see who you can find.
That is such great advice. I personally have done all of my hiring in the past through referrals of just reaching out to my community, just the people who are familiar with my business and, you know, saying, hey, I'm looking for this kind of person. Do you know anyone who's interested or has the availability or can maybe do that for me? And that has brought so many incredible people into my life, into my business. And so just knowing that you have sought out others who are familiar with your brand, the work you're already doing, that obviously already are big fans because they're following along in the first place, I think that's such genius advice. So when you decided to bring on kind of that extra set of hands, and remind me again, how many people do you currently have on your team?
I have 3 full-time employees. I have 1 part-time employee, and then I have 3 people who are virtual. So they're not here, but they do graphic design, Pinterest assistants, that are contractors. And then right around now is when we scale up and bring on a bunch of contractors, probably 5 or 6 to bring us through the holiday season.
That's amazing. So like at the height of holiday season, you've got quite a few people on your team who are working alongside you and as a part of the Teak and Twine experience. That's incredible.
Exactly. On the 1st of December, there will probably be 10 people running around in this studio. And it is the coolest, busiest feeling with the Christmas music going and with everyone working together. So it really is awesome to see. And then the five of us, it's five of us, you know, year round, we have just grown into kind of this small but mighty team. And I like to think that we punch above our weight class. So
I'm sure you absolutely do. So in having these incredible people who are part of your team over the years, how has that helped shape your brand? Has that given you the space to grow in different ways or spend your time in different ways? What has that impact over the last few years of having people on your side in that way? What has that looked like for you?
Pretty much anything that you see us do where you think, wow, that's pretty cool, wasn't me. So it's honestly hard to put it in a box. But what I would say is when I started, I kind of thought that as the leader, I would identify all of the what's, all of what we wanted to do, and that my team members might come up with some interesting hows to get there. But what has been amazing is they've really identified some really cool goals. And what has been really interesting and just so motivating to see is that actually the more broad of a question that I come to my team with and just let us brainstorm, the more creative their solutions can get. So some of my favorite things to do now are at least once a week to just gather the team around and bring up something. How should we grow this part of the business? How should we scale this thing that we're doing? In what ways can we be more creative when it comes to client gifting? Or let's just go through the website. How should we make our customer experience better? And the free-flowing conversations and the ideas that come from that have been so incredible. And everything from our client experience to our packaging, to our website, to the way that we grow our business in marketing or advertising have all come from those conversations.
That is so incredible. And to me, that just is such a great testament to kind of the community that you've been able to build among your team. I mean, if I think back through some of the teams that I've worked in back before I started my business, like in more corporate environments or, you know, way back when I was in high school working at restaurants and things like that, there were some team environments where we were not asked to be part of that conversation. And we, even if we were asked, maybe it wasn't conducive enough to openness or creativity or vulnerability where you could share freely in that way. So just on my end, listening to you talk about how you make that conversation on a weekly basis a part of the culture that you're creating, I think that speaks so highly to the way that you are creating a collaborative and kind of safe space for employees too, which is amazing to hear.
Thank you so much. It definitely is just naturally who I am. So actually, if I were to have to keep everything inside and not share, that would be way harder. So that definitely helps, you know, is to my advantage that I just want to share everything that's going on with my team. But now I know it really does feel like what has worked for us because of the ideas that come up in those open-ended conversations, for sure.
That's awesome. As you were bringing your team kind of on board, did you find anything surprising about hiring or managing a team that you weren't quite expecting along the way?
I think one of the things that has really surprised me is how fast I get used to the hours or the tasks that I give to a new hire and how quickly I want to turn up the volume. One of the questions that I get a lot is, I'm thinking of bringing someone on my team, but I'm worried about, you know, having to pay this salary or having to pay this wage every single week. And what I usually say is that by the second week, my guess is you'll be asking them to come more hours. That has really been my experience where I will ask someone to come Tuesday, Thursday, and by week two, I'm asking them what their Monday, Wednesday availability is, and let's talk about going full time. Once you see what you're able to accomplish with taking things off of your plate and what you're then able to do, and once you see the amazing ways that they're up-leveling the tasks that I give to my team members, honestly, the biggest thing that I have to work on is like overloading them with more tasks and more hours, because it's so awesome to see them kind of grow the responsibilities that I give them initially.
That's amazing. And I think that that really speaks so highly to the kind of people that you're bringing onto your team, like the quality of these individuals who are becoming a part of the Teak and Twine family in this way. So that's honestly, in my experience, I hear that question a lot in the creative industry of, okay, how do I find really quality people to join my team? So when you're going through the hiring process, I know that you bring on people seasonally, but also when you're looking for your full-time staff, what are some go-to qualities that you like to look for in new team members?
So I want to hire someone who is better than me at blank. And that is a conscious shift that I have had to go through, because I kind of looked for, will they do correctly? In the beginning, I would look for, will they do the thing correctly that I tell them to do? And what I've now realized is that's like foundational, that's level A. What you really want to hire is someone who's going to say, yes, I can do that, but have you thought of doing it this way? Have you thought of actually doing it twice as good, or doing it or automating it, or, you know, making the design better or systematizing it in that way? And so now when I'm kind of talking to someone in the hiring process, I'm thinking, not is this person going to follow directions, but can this person do the thing even better than me? Because that is like the gold standard of hiring. That's what we all want for sure.
I think that that is such genius advice. And I can see how that is something that has created so many new ideas, so much more intention and growth within your team. But I can imagine that that wasn't the most comfortable of mental shifts to make, right? Of going from looking for people who could maybe follow instructions and do it exactly the way that you wanted them to do versus kind of opening yourself up as an entrepreneur and asking for more input and asking for people to really be innovative on the job as well. Was that something that was sort of an easier transition, or maybe a little bit more of a challenging kind of mental shift to make along the way?
I think that it is a process for sure. And for me, it's just about giving more and more and more freedom over time. So one of the ways that we hire that really helps is that most of our hires have started as seasonal employees. So for example, Christina, right now, she is our director of operations. She is making sure every order from multiple third-party platforms and our own website is going out on time. She handles our inbox. She sends invoices. She handles inventory. Oh, by the way, she also does PR. I mean, she does everything. And it is so shocking to me that she started actually as a seasonal hire last October for gearing up for Christmas. And, you know, we kind of waded into the water slowly. So she started as a part-time seasonal employee immediately. I mean, day one, hour one, I immediately knew that I wanted her to come every single day. And then over time, I've given her more and more tasks as I've seen how incredible she is at each thing. Or, you know, she's one of those people where you kind of have to pull out her secret talents. I'm like, Christina, you're an amazing copywriter. How am I just finding out about this? But it is about, I think, getting to know your team, nurturing their talents, and kind of finding out the secret things that they're good at. So a lot of times my employees, the position they're in now doesn't look like the position that I quote unquote hired them for. It's been about nurturing their strengths. And so the position they're in now has been a natural evolution of kind of identifying the things that they are really good at. And I think being more kind of open-fisted about where your employees are going and making that a conversation, a constant conversation between yourself and them. You know, I like to sit down with each of my employees in the beginning and say, what is your dream job? What do you want this job to set you up for? I hope you stay with me 30 years, but what is your dream job so that I can hopefully find something in what we do that they are already interested in? And then I like to keep talking to them. You know, we don't have a set schedule, but maybe quarterly sit down and say, is there something that we do that you think is interesting that you might want to take on or that you might want to try? And so I think letting kind of roles evolve over time is a great way. It makes it honestly really easy to give more responsibilities because it makes me excited to give them more things to do and more responsibilities as I see them just blossom in the things that they're naturally interested in and naturally great at.
That is such a fantastic approach to giving your team really the space to, like you said, blossom and go in those directions that kind of naturally evolve over time. And when I hear that, I think that that, again, just speaks so highly to this atmosphere of like trust and safety and collaboration that you're creating at Teak and Twine, which I think is so amazing. So do you have any secrets, any tips of like favorite ways that you like to build trust or build community within your team? Like any, even if it's just something as simple as, you know, touching base on a weekly basis or some other fun exercise you guys might do. I would love to hear the behind the scenes of how you make this dream team happen.
So three things. One is that I do on a weekly basis, just kind of sit down and bring up a topic, something that I think we could be doing better and start a conversation. So that part is intentional. Of course, where the conversation goes and how long it lasts is pretty organic. But again, those afternoons are some of, looking back, my favorite times and where we've come up with every single good idea. Then I do two other things. One of them is kind of fluffy, and that is that about two or three times a year, I like to get out of the studio and we'll go on a field trip. So whether it's just having a regular work day, but in a new location, or kind of one time we went to a few stores and looked at products, and then we sat down in a co-working space and tackled a couple problems. There's something about that new environment. Lots of people say it, but it's true. That new environment really does spark new ideas and kind of create this foundation that this is a time for crazy ideas. This is a time for being brave about the things that you're bringing to the table. And they're just really fun days too. And then I have a third way, which is brand new. It might not be for everyone, but it's profit sharing. So a few months ago, I started a profit sharing program for my employees where I actually every single week tell them what our sales number was, and I pay them a percentage of our profits. And it's been awesome. It honestly makes me wish that I had started it years ago. It makes me feel like we are all in this fight together. We are all benefiting when something goes well. When we have a big order, I want them directly to benefit from that. And there's just something really cool about the teamwork, at least in my mind, that it's fostered. And it makes me feel great to be able to give back more to my employees in that way. So if you can, I recommend at least thinking about it.
That is such amazing advice. And I love that idea of creating an opportunity where your team can feel more invested, more directly invested in the big wins and successes that the brand is experiencing through that profit sharing approach. So I think, big fan of that idea. I think that's genius. Okay. So if we kind of, I know we're talking about right now, your current season of business, your current amazing team, but let's kind of like go back in time a little bit and think back to that very first season in 2015 when you made that switch from running Teak and Twine on your own as a solopreneur to bringing on that extra set of hands. I know you said that that was such a just an organic thing for you of realizing, okay, like I could handle it up until this point, but now there is a clear need for me to bring someone else onto the team. What was it like transitioning from having something that was purely yours that you were running on your own to then opening it up and bringing on that new hire? I'm thinking just kind of in the terms of, for those listening who might be still in that stage of being a one-person show, still kind of like wearing all of the hats, but they are ready to maybe welcome in an assistant or a VA or some additional help to their own business. I'm just thinking of, you know, being in that season, what can we say, what can you share of your own experience, I guess, that could help maybe prepare them for that transition?
Absolutely. So I think that the biggest question that you can kind of ask yourself if you're wondering if it's time to take someone on is, are you still able to move the needle in your business? So as you look through your task list, your to-do list, your order list, then, you know, you also have this other to-do list going as the owner or founder of your business, which is kind of the loftier, meatier, more difficult tasks that are going to grow your business in the vision that you see it being in 3 to 5 years. And if you find every day that those goals are on the back burner and aren't getting started until 10 p.m. or maybe you aren't able to make any progress on those goals because it's the inbox and the order list that is taking up all your time, then that is an immediate green light to hire someone, in my opinion. Every time that I have hired someone, it has allowed me to focus more on those goals. And of course, some of it for me too, though, it still requires discipline. So even when you make that hire, you can still stay in the inbox and you can still be sending out orders even when that time has been freed up. So I like to think that now that I have someone helping me in doing blank, I kind of have to put up boundaries and tell myself I'm not allowed to do that thing anymore, so that I have to focus on the more difficult task of moving the needle. And that's kind of another shift that I went through about a year ago, which is, as the leader, you think that you need to be doing all of the moving forward of your business, all of moving the needle, growing sales, growing the business. And so you can get help doing lots of different things. But I was thinking about hiring someone about a year ago, and I talked to my accountant about it. And she asked me one question like it was the simplest question in the world. And she said, well, how is this person going to grow your bottom line? And I was silent for 10 seconds as I realized that in the role that I had thought of for that person, they weren't going to grow my bottom line. They were going to take stuff off my plate. They were going to make my life easier. But I hadn't actually structured their role in a way that they were going to grow the bottom line. And so what I would say is, when you're thinking of hiring someone, don't be afraid to think to yourself, how can I structure this person's responsibility and scope to where they are in charge of a certain amount of growing your business and helping you achieve the big meaty goals of taking your business to the next level? Because when we're all small organizations, everyone needs to be moving the needle. Everyone needs to be growing the business. And that's kind of this big aha moment that my accountant's question created for me. And so, I think that that does take kind of some leadership and some foresight when you're creating these roles for people in your company. But one of the really cool things is that it also makes the position really rewarding. Everyone loves the feeling of growing something. We're all moving it together. And so if you can let your team members have a piece of that excitement, I think that you're going to see some really cool motivation, some really cool ideas, and an amazing feeling of teamwork and unity that comes out of that.
I totally agree. And I think that you absolutely hit the nail on the head a minute ago when you said that this is an approach that takes a certain amount of leadership. And I just, looking at my own experience of growing a team, I felt like just in my own journey, I've had to step into more of a leadership role within my business. And hearing you talk about your team and how you guide them through not only the work that you're doing, but also guide them through an approach where everyone has a vested interest in the success of Teak & Twine, I see you stepping into and continually stepping into this incredible role as a leader within your own business. So I'm curious, are there any steps, any resources that you have, maybe even any words of wisdom that you can share to someone who is dreaming of growing their team, but this idea of stepping into that role of leadership feels a little shaky, feels a little intimidating, and they're wanting to know how they can really move forward with that?
Absolutely. So the big question that I think helps me be a leader is by, and I did mention it earlier, but asking the person that you're talking to what their dream job is or what they like doing, because having that in mind has really helped me kind of craft the position around their dreams. And it's great for me because it means that I have team members who are doing what they love. Like, they're doing a job where they are reading books about that task for fun in their off time. They're listening to podcasts about that already. And it's great for them because they do feel like, you know, maybe this job is helping them with their next step, or they're in a job where it is something that they love doing. So one of my employees, Nancy, she was actually one of my very first customers. I mean, I probably had 200 Instagram followers. I didn't even have a website, and she ordered a gift for her boyfriend's mother for Thanksgiving 5 years ago. And so she went from a customer, repeat customer, to then a seasonal employee, and she had a different full-time job. Then I started asking her to come constantly. Then I started just asking her advice on marketing things. She was making boxes for me. She wasn't in a marketing role, but I noticed that while she was making boxes, she was listening to podcasts about marketing. And so I started asking for her advice on different things, and she would give me fantastic advice. And so then I started giving her marketing tasks. She was incredible at them, way better than me. Fast forward to today, she is our director of marketing. She is exploding that part of the business in ways that I never would have dreamed. And so I think that leadership is about getting to know people so that you can, you know, create that path for them. At the end of the day, it's better for everyone if people are doing something that they love. So I think that, again, having kind of a loose grip on what you think people's tasks are and letting it flow a little more organically is my best advice.
And such good advice at that. Something that came to mind when I was listening to you share that story about your incredible director of marketing, Nancy, was that by creating the space within your business for others to step into things that they're already passionate about and that they love doing, that allows you to also step into things that you have continued passion for and continued ability to really move the big picture vision of Teak and Twine forward in. So it's just beautiful kind of dynamic of possibility and growth and just so much goodness for everyone involved, which I think when I was, you know, kind of in the early stages of recognizing that it was time for me to bring someone onto the Be a Sravani design team, it was really easy for me to think about how this could, you know, benefit my business, how this could take so much off my plate. But then I also challenged myself to think about how this could be such a simple way for me to bring something good into someone's life. You know, at the bare minimum, I'm able to entrust them with some tasks and some to-dos that they in turn are making a paycheck while they do that consistently. But then as those roles grew, as the need that I had grew within my business, it became something where I was really able to see how it was just not only something that was good for Vias for Bonnie, for, you know, me as the face behind my brand, but also for the incredible women who were saying yes to being a part of my little team, which is an exciting and kind of humbling part of the process, which I'm sure like you feel the same way with having an incredible group of people who work with you. It's a joy to be able to invite people into kind of the future of what you're doing and walk that journey alongside them.
Absolutely. I completely agree with everything you just said.
Well, Torrance, I'm so grateful for you sharing your experience with me today, for you sharing, honestly, so much wisdom about not only how you have grown Teak and Twine over the years, but how you have created such an incredible culture for your team, how you have really shared so many great stories and experiences on how you define leadership and how you experience success as a part of that culture that you're building. So I just appreciate you so much for sharing your time with us and coming on the show and giving so freely of this wisdom for people. And I know that people are going to want to learn more about you, about Teak and Twine. They're going to want to absolutely just fall in love with your incredible collection of Tetris-like gorgeous boxes that they can surprise their friends, their family, their clients with. And so I would love to know, where can people find you online? How can they come hang out with you?
Awesome. Thank you so much, Bonnie. This was a blast. And yes, I am on all of the platforms at Teak and Twine, and that's Teak like the wood, A-N-D, Twine like the string. If you are naming your business, try to name it something a little bit less hard to understand than Teak and Twine. That is my recommendation. And so, yep, we're at all of those places. You can follow me personally on Instagram at Torrance Hart, where I give kind of more of a behind the scenes into daily life and my life. But Teak and Twine for all of the box goodness.
I love it. Thanks so much. And for those who are listening, don't worry. As usual, we will have all of these links where you can connect with Torrance, where you can connect with Teak and Twine on the show notes for today's episode. So all you'll have to do is just go to brandstrategypodcast.com, click on today's episode, and you can find all of this goodness there. Torrance, thank you again for hanging out with me today, for sharing your wisdom on hiring a team. And I just cannot wait to continue to see what's next for you and the Teak and Twine team as we transition into the holiday season.
Thank you so much, Bonnie. It's going to be very exciting.
Friend, if you enjoyed enjoyed tuning into today's conversation with Torrance about how to grow your own team, then she has a freebie just for you that you do not want to miss. Trust me. She's put together this incredible free guide that includes 5 go-to hiring tips on how to build and nurture your dream team. This is such a rich resource that is packed with action-based content. So whether you are dreaming of making your first hire or you're looking to make your next hire even more successful, head to brandstrategypodcast.com and click on the show notes for today's episode to get your hands on this content-packed freebie.